Welcome to TwinFluence, the podcast. We're identical twins, business partners, and best friends. Every episode will bring you deeper into our lives and give you a behind-the-scenes look at our social media business, life as TwinFluencers, and our unique twin relationship. Get ready to get raw and real. I'm Jacqueline.
And I'm Liana.
And this is TwinFluence, the podcast.
Here we go. This is like the podcast that I've been waiting to do ever since we both found out that we were pregnant. This is Jackie and my birth story podcast and the first podcast that we're recording not pregnant.
Which is just so wild, especially considering the fact that when we decided to do a podcast, it was around this time last year, Christmas time last year, and we didn't know that we were going to be pregnant when we started it. I remember we just like decided to do it and then we got pregnant and we just kind of like went with it. And it's just crazy like how things have evolved. And I'm so emotional thinking about that I'm sitting in my son's nursery and like we're doing this and our podcasts are our birth stories. It's just like, it's amazing, Liana.
This is definitely going to be a bit of a deeper podcast for the two of us. We're going to try to get through this as best we can. At this point, or I don't know if you've heard, but we both shared on our Instagrams the first few moments of our babies like coming into the world. And this is going to be a deep one for us. We're really going to try to get through this, but this is unlike any other podcast that we've ever recorded. Obviously it's still pregnancy and birth related, but
anxiety right now. Like I'm nervous. It's hard to explain. Cause it's also like, I mean, for me, I'm only 4 days postpartum, but I'm nervous.
Yeah. And I wanted to say that I'm 4 days postpartum and you're two. Jackie is 4 days postpartum and Liana is 2 weeks and a day postpartum. So we ended up, let's like get into it. So we ended up giving birth. How far apart? We're like, is it going to be the same day? Is it going to be like, you know, the next day, whatever? We ended up giving birth, 12 days apart?
Yeah, I was December 14th and you were
December 2nd. And it was probably, I mean, for me, it was a really hard, I mean, it was so exciting once I had Capri because I was just so excited that she was here. And I think I had a very smooth delivery. I had one issue post-delivery that I'll talk about in this podcast, but I felt like I had a very, very smooth delivery.
I have to say, I'm excited to like hear more about your delivery and to just share because I want to tell you guys something. Liana and I, obviously we've spoken since we've each given birth and talked about our deliveries, but there's so much that could happen in your birth story. There's things that I haven't even talked to you about yet, Liana, that we're going to talk about for the first time on this podcast. So that's kind of why it's really emotional because there's things that we don't know about each other's birth stories yet that you guys are going to find out. Like, and we're going to find out about each other at the same time. So it's like,
it's going to be exciting. And I just also want to say that I'm just really grateful that we both went through it. The 12 days that I wasn't pregnant and Jackie was were really strange for us.
Weird.
I was on cloud nine, like just having my baby.
You were living your best life, but I was like, I'm still on the other side, Liana.
Yeah. And like, you know, yeah. And I mean, you know, when you say like, it's, you know, postpartum is postpartum and you learn a lot in postpartum and everybody's experiences are different, but my first few days were great and I felt so bad for Jackie because I knew how happy she was for me, but it was just so hard because she was just hard at the end.
And I just think also at the end for me too, and I'll talk about it more in my birth story, just it was very difficult at the end for a few different reasons. And I'll tell you guys about it when I tell my birth story,
let's start.
I just want to say one last thing. I took some time off social media, like before I went into labor. And I just think I have to say, like, for all you moms to be out there, like really such a tip, like, is I would just take some time off social media before you go into labor. Like that's a tip that I wanted to
just to mentally prepare, I guess.
Yeah. I think it really helped me. Anyway, we'll get into that when we get into my birth story, but let's start with yours.
So,
I delivered
on December 2nd and like after 37 weeks, once I knew I was full term, everything was like, am I in labor? What's going on? Am I in labor? Oh my God, I'm in labor. No, I'm not. Mom, dad, fly down. Yes, no, yes, whatever.
Yeah. Like there was a point there where you and I would like call each other and Liana and I would literally call each other all the time. Like, is this it? Is this it? And like, did you think it could be a contraction? Do you think it could be it? Are they like, it's really weird at the end of pregnancy because you're like, you always think you're in, like, you just don't know. And it's like intense. And we would always go to each other and ask each other, could this be it? Could this be it? But I remember when you actually went into labor, I knew, I was like, yeah, she's actually, this is it, you know?
Yeah, it was insane. So the week, I think it was about a week before, for some reason I had it in my brain that like the week before I was going to go into labor because my parents were visiting. So they came and they went, there was no baby. I was just,
yeah, right. They came in the middle of November.
Yeah. They came in the middle of November. I was just so ready. I did something called a, what's it called? A stretch and sweep, or I don't know. There's a membrane sweep. There's different names for it. It's kind of a way to induce labor. I thought it was going to work. It didn't end up really working the first time that much. And then the second time after my parents left a few days later, I think it was like, it was 3 days prior to December 2nd. I did another stretch and sweep. And 3 days later, I'm sitting at home. This was the night of, I have to think about this. This was, I gave birth on December 2nd. So I have to look at a calendar here.
This was like the 30th though. Yeah. Cause it was the Saturday and you gave birth the Monday morning.
Okay. So I'm looking at a calendar right now. So Saturday night,
Saturday,
November 30th,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. See,
My parents were there the week before. So a week later, Saturday night, November 30th, I started having these weird pains in my back, which was weird because I thought contractions were supposed to be in the back and in the front. And I was having these pretty painful pains and like directly in my back. And what was weird about them was that they kept coming and going, which is really what made me think that I was in labor, because it was coming and going and it was something that we were able to track. And what they tell you in labor is that, you know, you download an app and
it's like a pattern.
You have to monitor your contractions and it gets to a pattern. There's a rule 5-1-1 every 5 minutes, for 1 minute, for an hour, you go to the hospital when you're having contractions. So for me, I started having just these horrible pains in my back, and I'm like, Brandon, what's going on? I tried to take a bath, and over like a few hours, it went from like every half an hour, then every 20 minutes, and every 10 minutes, and every 5 minutes. And then I thought I was in 5-1-1. So I went to Brandon, we got to go to the hospital. So we were driving to the hospital that Saturday night, and November 30th.
Before you went to the hospital, I think you guys called me like, I don't know, it was the middle.
We were in the car.
Jordan was like talking in his sleep because all of a sudden, because you guys called Jordan, I guess for some reason his phone was on vibrate. And I don't know, you called me, I didn't answer because mine was on silent. And Jordan starts talking to me in the middle of the night and he wakes me up and I'm like, what is he doing talking in his sleep? He's like, Liana's on her way to the hospital. I was like, what? And I like jumped out of bed. And when we spoke that night, at that time, I knew this was it. Like, based on what you were telling me, Liana, and yeah. I felt it in my gut. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, this is it. I just, even when he woke me up, I was like, Liana's like, this is it. Well, it makes me like nervous to think.
So it's, yeah. So anyway, it was crazy. So I get to the hospital. They check me. They tell me that I'm like 1.5 centimeters dilated, but that like, it's not fully enough to admit me yet. And I have to wait until the contractions are more painful and closer together. And I looked at these people. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, cause I found out later on that what I had was back labor. You can look it up, but it's when the baby is a little bit is turned, and she ended up turning and my labor ended up being great. And I'm going to get into that, but I had back labor. So with back labor, everything is more painful and everything, even though like you could have like a level 7 pain, which I think with regular contractions means like a level 7, maybe you'd be dilated more, but with back labor, everything is much more painful and you dilate a lot slower. So they're like, come back tomorrow, whatever. So me and Brandon left. I'm on the way home. I'm still in a lot of pain. I don't understand what's going on. And I text my doula and I explained to her, we went to the hospital, 1.5 centimeters dilated. I'm having what I think is regular 5-1-1 contractions. I don't know what's going on. It's in my back. I'm going to try to get some sleep. So we get home. Brandon and I go to bed and I wake up in the morning with a message from my doula and she says, call me. So I call my doula and she says to me, Liana, from what you're telling me, you're in back labor, you're in labor. I'm coming over right now. We have to try to do natural like remedies. I'm going to share like some pictures of what we did to get the baby to turn around, because if not, this is going to be a lot of a longer process and you're going to be in a lot more pain. And I was like, okay. So she comes over that morning, right away she shows up. And as soon as my doula walked into my house, it was like my whole vibe changed. At first I was just so nervous and overwhelmed about what the experience was going to be like. And then as soon as she came in, she just started like rubbing my back and doing these like really, really cool methods. Like she wrapped like a scarf around my belly with a spoon and was twisting it. It was like a whole thing. And we did these like stretches and I was leaning on a ball. And I just knew in that moment I was in good hands. And it's crazy because I don't know how, like, I labored at home for like 4 hours because I didn't want to go back to the hospital at that point. I was afraid they were going to turn me away and that I wasn't still not going to be dilated enough. So my doula kept saying, we should go to the hospital now. And I kept saying, no, like, let's wait another hour, like whatever it was. Cause I was just so terrified to go to the hospital and for them to say to me, you need to leave. So long story short, We labored at home for a few hours. My dog, everybody, like, he was amazing. Brandon was here. It was just the three of us.
It's so crazy because I had such an opposite experience. I waltzed into the hospital, which I'll tell
you. Well, you were induced. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get into that after. But it's like the thing that you labored at home. Like, wow, Liana, I didn't have that experience at all. Like, it's
it's wild. And I wanted to labor at home. And even though, I was still, thank you. And I was still having what I thought was 5-1-1, like we said before, every 5 minutes for an hour, for 1 hour, whatever, every 5 minutes for 1 minute for an hour. But I guess it was kind of off and on the night before. And then the next morning when she came in, it was so obvious that we were timing them. And it was just literally like clockwork. When they tell you it's supposed to be like clockwork every 5 minutes for 1 minute for 1 hour, they're not lying to you. Like, it is literally, you can time it. It was every 5 minutes for exactly 1 minute for over an hour. And she kept pushing me. We got to go to the hospital. So I said, like, after we could stay, we can go. After me, keeping us at home for an hour, I was like, okay, let's go. This was like 4 hours later. So this was maybe like, this started, she came over at 9 a.m. This was like 1 o'clock. So we get to the hospital, like 45 minutes later, I was screaming in pain. I'm not going to lie, the whole way to the hospital, because it was hard. I was having back labor in the car and she was there. And every time I had a contraction, she would rub my back and Brandon was driving and it happened to be a snowstorm. So it took us even longer to get to the hospital. And then we show up to the hospital and I feel so bad for every single mother who was just there for a checkup or doing whatever, because I was screaming. Mm-hmm. And literally I was I was that person. And we get in, they check me. They're like, you're 100% effaced and you're 3 centimeters dilated. Like, you're in labor. At first I was like, oh my God, like, this is finally it. Like, I'm finally in labor. I had texted my parents a few hours earlier saying you should come. And they were like, should we though? Like, whatever.
I remember they were like up north. They were like, is Leanna really going to labor? And I'm like, guys, like, you got to get to Toronto. Like,
no, yeah. I made my doula. I feel like I was the girl who cried labor, but I made my doula call
my parents.
I made her call my parents and she was like, your daughter's in labor. If you want to be here for the birth, you have to come. So
I just remember after that, like, them realizing that, I called them and like, I was like I spoke to Dad. I'm like, you spoke to Leanna, I spoke to the doula. Like, you know, she's in labor. And he was like, I can't talk. We're up north. We're rushing. We got to go. And I'm like, I told you guys.
And then my parents told me, like, I got to the hospital, they got there like an hour or two later, because it's only a 45 minute flight, because I live in Toronto and Jackie lives,
yeah, but tell them what happened
in Montreal. Yeah, so they get to their flights kept getting canceled because it was a snowstorm here. So my dad's like, we're just gonna go to the airport. So they go to the airport, they find one flight that is leaving. They find this like woman in line and they're like, our daughter's in labor, like, we have to get on this flight. And my dad said that one of the women in line was like, oh, please, you have a ton of time. Because, like, I don't know, some people are just rude as fuck. Yeah. And then somebody else, this other woman was like, okay, like, take me and my husband, like, you know, we'll give you our tickets or our seats.
Go ahead. Yeah, dad told me that. Yeah.
Long story short, so I get to the hospital, they tell me, like what I said before, I'm 3 centimeters, 100% effaced. They admit me. And then it was like, I have to be honest. And I it's hard for me because I know, like, I get emotional talking about this, but I know that my sister's was harder than mine. So it's hard for me to say it this way, but
told me after you got your brother, hey, what's that?
Yeah, it was from this point, it was smooth sailing. They admitted me. I had my epidural, which was only scary because, number one, your whole life you're terrified of an epidural. And it's like, I'm not going to say what it is. Yeah. I'm not going to say what it is, because, like, exactly how it works. My girlfriend didn't really know how it worked.
We actually got a lot of, like, we got some questions from people. They wanted, like, we'll pull them out at the end. People, I asked on Instagram, like, guys, what do you want to know about our birth stories? And some people want to know about the epidural. So are you sure you don't want to talk about it a little bit?
I mean, so here's the thing with mine. It didn't hurt. Like, I don't find the epidural hurts. It's more the idea of what an epidural is that freaked me out. And I ended up having a contraction while they were putting the epidural in me. So, and you can't move, because if you move, you know, there's all these like things that could happen if you move. Like, I don't know, you could, what is it? I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah.
So I was just so scared. And Brandon was holding me and my doula wasn't in the room, because they're only allowed one person in the room when you get your really? Epidural. Yeah.
There was like three nurses and an anesthesiologist.
No, there was no, there, you know, no. Yes. There were the nurses and the anesthesiologist, but
my doula, not my husband.
No, the nurse said to me, you can either have one like Brandon or your doula. And I looked at my doula. I was like, I need my husband. Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
They gave me the epidural. And then honestly, after the epidural for me, like, it was smooth sailing. Like, you have to move from left to right, because the way the epidural works is it like it goes with how you're lying and the medicine moves. It's kind of creepy. And then they give you a button that every time you think you're starting to feel contractions again, you press the button.
I didn't have a button.
I don't know. I had a button. So every time you feel like you're having, like you can start to feel it again, you add more medicine. So I was afraid to be totally numb. And the nurse kept saying like, oh, like you can top up. And I was like, I don't want to top up. Like I wanted to somewhat feel them. So anyway, I topped up a little bit here and there over the next few hours. And then at one point the doctor came in and she was like, we're going to check you. And if you're not dilated to like 4 centimeters or 5 centimeters at this point, we're going to give you something to help you dilate. And
break your water too?
So no. So what happened at this point, I don't think they broke my water yet.
Okay.
But so she checked me. And at that point in like an hour, I had dilated like 2 more centimeters. So I think they broke my water at that point. And then over the next like 3-4 hours, my parents ended up showing up right on time. I just kept like dilating more and more. It was like 2 hours later, I was like 7. An hour later, I was like 9. And then like another hour later, I was like 10. And then they were like, time to push. It was crazy. And like, it was just me chilling in the hospital, hanging around. My parents, showed up.
Hey, mom and dad are here. Gotta go.
Yeah. My parents. And then at one point, like I got to take a small nap before the pushing at the end. And this is what, like, I want to tell other mamas, at least for me, I freaked myself out the most over the pushing, and the pushing for me was my favorite part of labor, because for me, I couldn't feel it because I had an epidural. And I was so emotional in the pushing at the end when they're like, okay, this is the last push to get your baby here, because it was like, just being pregnant takes so much away from you. Like you can't control how your body changes. You can't control how you're feeling.
You can't control what you put in your body.
You can't have this, you can't have that. So pushing her out was like me getting to meet her, but also like me like claiming my like, and everyone laughs because they're like, oh, you don't get your life back when you have a baby, but it's different.
I'm sorry. It's been 4 days postpartum. And obviously I had a difficult delivery, and I'm having some physical, like, you know, I'm recovering, but I can't explain the feeling that I feel now. Like, I feel like I'm on the other side, like for us at least. And, you know, I know a lot of women love being pregnant. I am so happy that my son is here, but I did not enjoy being pregnant. So like,
me neither.
To be on the other side, like I'll take the physical things that I'm going through. Like,
and you know, and
it's like my life back, not my life back, but just feeling more like myself again, but also having a child. And like, I'm so happy to be on the other side and be in my postpartum like recovery.
Yeah. And people, you know, there's like a stigma that people are like, you shouldn't tell anybody that you didn't like being pregnant. It's like, you know what? No, you should be able to talk about it. If you didn't like, if you're not loving it,
when I talked about it, people were like, you're going to miss your bump. I was like, I don't know. Like, you know, like
I can't breathe.
My bump is sitting on my leg. Like I sit down, my bump like sits on my legs. I can't even stand up. Like I just for like, you know, like teach their own. But
yeah, no, but it's more that like, you know, everybody has their own journey to getting pregnant, and you don't ever want to make anybody feel bad by complaining.
Everybody has their exactly. But it's amazing no matter like whatever works for you.
Right. But it's more that like, I just, if you're not comfortable pregnant, you should be able to share that with somebody, because you start to feel guilty. And or pregnant women or whatever it is should have an open space to feel however the fuck they want to feel. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
So anyway,
okay. Tell us about the pushing.
The whole nap time, like the half an hour before I pushed, when me and Brianna were napping in the room, I psyched myself up so much for the pushing. And then finally they come in, they check me. They're like, now you're at 10. I didn't need to have any of like the Pitocin or anything to induce it. It happened naturally. I feel very, very grateful that it did. It was like over like a 10 hour period. And long story short, the nurse comes in and she goes, okay, like the doctor checked me. They had broken my water, like I said, a few hours before. And they're like, it's time to push. So I was like, are you sure? Like maybe we should wait a little bit, like, you know, maybe like 10 more minutes. Like, I don't know. Maybe let's like wait. But then she had said to me, no, it's time. Like it's time to push. So in the room was my mom, my doula, my husband, a nurse, and the doctor. And I'm really weird with like even numbers and like stuff like that. So I looked at the clock. I think it was at 4 a.m. I said, I'll push it like 4:04 or something like that. I had to have like even numbers.
Oh, you just cut out. You had to what? Sorry.
So I had to, I'm like weird with even numbers. So
right,
I
was 4:04.
So I pushed it like 4:04. I remember being like at exactly 4:04. Or was it 4:44? I don't know. I have it all written down, and I'll share it when I share like the birth video on Instagram. But I waited for like the time that I wanted to. I think it was like 4:04 or something. And we started, and I pushed, and pushing was incredible. My doula kept bringing me, we had like, you'll hear it in the video, we had like really like spa like music on, and my doula kept bringing me oils to smell. Like she's like, we're very into grapefruit oil because it helps like rejuvenate you. So I was smelling like grapefruit oil and I was just pushing, and my mom was next to me and I pushed, and you know, you push during contractions, and because I hadn't done so much of the epidural, I could feel it a little bit. So I would say to the doctor, like, oh, I'm having another one. Like, it's time to push now. And I just pushed, and I pushed every like, you know, minute or however, like whenever the contractions were. And at one point, even the doctor was like looking at me and she was like, this is like such a chill labor. Cause it was just like the music and the pushing. And then I set like goals for myself. So for example, when I was pushing, I was like, okay, this push is like, there's a murderer running after me. And if I have to push as hard as I can, or he's going to get me. And then the doctor was like, okay, what does the murderer look like? And I was like, I don't know. I'm running from the murderer. One is for like, just all the best luck and for, you know, everything to be good. And I just kept like setting these like weird little like goals. And I was like, this one is for like all the bad people in the world. And you know, like this is to, you know, to bring all good energy. And then the doctor was like, wow, this is a good push. I was like, yeah, fuck all the bad people. Like, I was just like, so like, I was doing like all these things and it was the music. And then I just kept pushing. And then after about an hour, and it felt like it was 5 minutes because I loved it, an hour, the doctor looks at me and she said to me, and she was just like, chill. She's like, all right, Liana, like, this is it. This is the push that's going to bring your baby into the world. Like, are you ready for this? And I looked at Brandon and I just like started to cry. And I pushed her out. And then like, they put her like on my chest, and it was like the most beautiful experience of my life. And, like, I can't. And then Brandon and me were just like, oh my God, she's here. She's here. And he ended up cutting the cord. And I just looked at her the whole time. And then as soon as it was over, I turned to my mom. I said, call Jackie right now.
Yeah.
So like, they were like sewing me up and doing whatever they had to do down there. And they called Jackie, and I'm like holding the baby in my arms, and she's like, you know, still kind of,
I'm like, show me her right now. Show me. I'm like, she's here. Brandon face on me. He's like, I'm like, she's here. She's here. And he's like, I'm like, show me her right now. And he like, turns, sorry, I'm like so hysterical. I'm like, show me her now. Now. And they turned it around.
I think she saw like a bit of blood in her, whatever. I'm like, Jackie, look, this is my baby.
I was like, she's beautiful. And I like burst into tears. And me and Jordan, we were like, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And me,
no, I think I delivered at five.
Sorry, 5 o'clock in the morning. Me, him, and Kobe. Yeah, we were like cuddled up, the three of us, on FaceTime with you. Like, it was, and I was, you were like, it was literally, she was like sewing you up. I like was
Jackie like, was like, no, Jackie was like,
what are they doing down there?
And I was like, don't look down there, Jackie, because I knew that she was still pregnant. I didn't
like, what are they doing?
And I was like, ignore that part. Like, talk to me. So we just, I didn't even like, it's true what they say that as soon as the baby comes out, you don't even know what the fuck is, what they're doing.
Down there. I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah. And then I held her and it was the best. And then there were a couple of like post issues that I had. Like, my mom kind of kept, like, she thought she was helping me push, but she kind of pushed my neck a little bit in labor. So I had a bit of an injury. I also had something called epidural. I have to look it up. Epidural headaches. Yeah. No, hold on. I want to look this up because I want to know epidural headache. Oh yeah. I had like epidural headache where like there was like a puncture or something happened with the epidural. And it took a couple days to heal. You guys can look it up. I don't want to freak people out. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was, but it was painful at the beginning. And then the only other really scary thing for me that happened to me postpartum was like 5 days postpartum. I shared a bit of this on Instagram, but I was walking. I went to a beauty appointment for something, and walking into the appointment, I fell. And because my lace got caught on the other lace and it wasn't a good situation, I fell and I like, you know, I broke my phone. It wasn't good, but I got up. I had a scraped knee. I was like, okay, I'm fine. And then I walked into my beauty appointment, and halfway through the appointment, I just wasn't feeling well. And I was like, I need to go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom and there was like a lot of blood. And I knew what the regular amount of blood was to be in healing, but this seemed to me like a really a lot amount. It was everywhere. And I called my husband like hysterical, and I ended up driving home from the appointment. There was blood on my legs, through everything I was wearing. Like, I was hysterical. And
yeah, I spoke to you and you were home. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I finally got home. We ended up calling an ambulance because it was a lot of blood. We were scared. By the time I got to the hospital, the blood had subsided a little bit. We thought that maybe it was like a ripped stitch from the fall, but it was really just like, cause I, you know, you forget, you think that you're just healing on the outside, like your stitches and down there, but you forget that like, you know, your uterus and your insides
are
healing.
Things are moving.
Yeah, things are, you know, coming back into place and whatever. So I had blood, I guess, coming from the inside. And since then, I've been totally okay. Everything has been okay. That was probably, it's crazy because labor wasn't even like the scariest part for me. That like that thing that happened a few days.
But when you went to the hospital, that like you went to the you had an didn't you call an ambulance when you got home or something?
So when I got home in my car, I called an ambulance and my mother-in-law came over and we went in an ambulance because I was scared and I didn't think I could sit in the car. I've been having a pretty positive postpartum experience. And my biggest fear was to be in a car with my husband driving to the hospital, bleeding everywhere, and to give myself like a severe panic attack. So I wanted like an ambulance to come so they could check my vitals, tell me that I was okay. And I could ride in an ambulance with like experience, like paramedic, like, you know, people who could tell me that I was okay. So it was the smartest thing I did. Cause as soon as they came over, they were like, you know, they were so sweet and I was really scared. And my mother-in-law was here at that point and they helped me into the ambulance and they checked my vitals. They told me I was okay. So it was okay. I got to the hospital. I was checked. Everything was okay. Thank God. And since then I've just been taking it a lot easier. I've talked a lot on my platform about, you know, getting back into the swing of things and, you know, doing your hair or your nails or whatever stupid things that make you feel good in postpartum. And I think maybe the lesson here was that I should have waited maybe a few more days before running out and doing a beauty appointment. But long story short, I am really good now. I personally feel as though I had a successful labor, and I hope that this helps motivate some of the moms out there who are scared for labor, because I personally really enjoyed my labor, and that's the end of it. And now I'm in postpartum, and then 12 days later, Jackie will go into her story.
Yeah. So for me, I had a bit of a different story than Liana. So first of all, we obviously were twins, so our physiques are similar, and our bodies are physiques. I don't know, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's your cute.
My belly was much bigger than Liana's, and we would talk about it a lot.
Over like
Liana, he was much bigger than Capri. Okay. I just found physically for me, like, yeah, for sure, Liana, you were out of breath and things like that. You had back problems. But for me, the end, I couldn't do much. I couldn't like get out of bed. Jordan had to walk me mostly to the bathroom. Like, he was getting so big.
No, I will say that I did feel better. Like, Jackie and I would go on FaceTime at the end, and not that we were comparing, but she'd be like, look at my belly. And I would show her my belly and I would look at her and I'd be like, whoa, like,
your belly's really big. Yeah. Bigger.
And then I was ahead of you. And even my parents, like when they would visit me,
they would say, Jackie looks much bigger than Liana.
Jackie looks like, you know, and we don't like to, they don't want to compare us all the time, but even they were like, like, you know, Jackie looks like her belly looks bigger than yours.
Yeah.
I would get mad at my parents who were comparing. They're like, it's not a rude thing. Like, it's just, you know, your belly looks smaller than hers. And now we know it's because Capri was 6 pounds, 6 ounces. And
Carter was
8'4". I mean, it's a third bigger. It's a huge fucking difference.
Yeah. Anyway, so go ahead. So I was walking around at the end of pregnancy and I was having just a really hard time because I was really struggling physically because he was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And after Liana gave birth, it was just a weird time. And in that time, I just kept on feeling like, my doctor told me, he was like, once you hit 37 weeks, you're full term. So as of 37 weeks, like, I started to get my head in the game of like, okay, like, this is going to happen soon. Like, you know, hopefully I'm going to go into labor soon. But as the days were going on and I hit my 39th week, I wasn't in labor yet. This was when I decided to take, I think, my social media break, because I took like 10 days off social media just because like I felt like I just needed some time to like align myself with what I needed to do to go into labor. I can't explain it. Like, I'm a very spiritual person. I go off my intuition, and my intuition told me I wasn't going to go into labor naturally. I was having some Braxton Hicks contractions, but I just had this feeling that he was really comfortable in there and he was getting really big. And I just felt in my gut that I wasn't going to be able to go into labor naturally. So I saw my doctor every week and I would talk to my doctor because he was the one that said I was full term 37 weeks. And I would talk to him and say, can we talk about me being induced? Like, what are, you know, and he wasn't really listening to me. And I kind of felt very alone. And I felt like nobody was hearing what I had to say. Nobody understood where I was coming from. And the doctors weren't listening to me when I knew deep down I needed to be induced. And
you tried, like, you tried to do what I did.
I did so many things. I ate the castor oil. Oh yeah. I did the sweep. Yeah. I did the membrane sweep and it didn't do much. Like, I drank castor. I did all the things. Like, and that was when was the most frustrating. I did my membrane sweep on the Monday and it was really weird. The following Thursday I had another appointment with him, and normally he doesn't work that day, but just so happened, normally he works Fridays. It just so happened on that Thursday, it was the 12th. And I'm going to get into it, guys, because there was a lot of synchronicity for me about the the 12th, like December the 12th. I can't explain it. I just had this weird feeling about the 12th. It was the amount of time that, like, Liana, you were 39 weeks, 4 days. On the 12th, I was 39 weeks, 4 days. And I said on Instagram that I felt like the week before, I was like, guys, like, I think I'm going to go into labor, like 39 weeks, 4 days. But I didn't actually really think I was going to go into labor on 39 weeks, 4 days. I felt that they were probably like, that day was the day I was going to, like, force them to induce me, because, or to fight for myself to be induced. And it just so happened that I got an appointment on the 12th, because that was the day that my doctor was there. It was really weird. So I went in on the 12th, and I knew I was going in because he probably was going to think, like, and I felt like my doctor wanted to probably do another membrane sweep on me. But I, like, that morning when I went in on the 12th, but I wasn't going in to do another membrane sweep. I was going in to, like, vouch for myself and fight for myself so that my doctor would finally listen to me and submit me to be induced. And that's exactly what happened. I went in, and he was like, okay, we'll do another sweep. And I was like, I don't want to do another sweep. I'm like, check to see how much I'm dilated. He checked. I hadn't dilated much since the sweep before. And I vouched for myself. I said, I'm like, doctor, you got to get me in. Like, this is really starting to affect me. Like, I really pushed for myself to the point where he said, okay. And he got up and he said, let me check if there's room for you. And he came back and he said, you got to go to the hospital tonight, 7 p.m. I will be there. I will start the process to induce you. And then another doctor will take over the next day. So I was like freaking out.
And that was at that point too, though, that was like, I felt overwhelmed. I remember when you told me that, because I was like, wow. So I naturally went into labor.
Yeah, where I now know I'm not going, but I knew I wasn't going to be I just had a feeling but that day was, I remember called you and said, we're about to have.
I mean, you could have waited. You could have gone to 40, 41 weeks.
No, I couldn't, because remember that.
I was just going to say he would have been so big.
No, but that's not, it's not just that I would have been big. The doctors, every single doctor and every single nurse, when I got to the hospital and once they found, after I gave birth, which I'll tell you guys the whole story, but once they saw how big he was, the doctor was like, thank God you vouched for yourself to be induced, because if you would have gone another, I would have gone another, I think it was like 9 days more to the week past my due date, or 8 days more, I would have 100% had to have a C-section. And
which is fine,
but I'm just, my whole life, listen, people are afraid of things. I've just always been really scared of C-sections.
Yeah, but some people weird. Do them. And
some people love them. Some people, I have people being like, I loved it. I went in, it was scheduled. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't even have to push. Like, I didn't really have that many contractions. Like, some people love it. And, but for me, I just,
I wouldn't say love it, but I would say that they,
but especially because you told that. Especially because you had told me that you liked pushing. I was like, I really wanted to push. Okay. And I felt in my gut that that was the right thing for me to do to have a better postpartum experience. Like, I was like, I need to figure out a way to get induced so I can deliver naturally, because I'm not going to be able to if they let me go any longer. Anyway, I went home that day. I called my husband. I'm like, you got to come home from work. I'm calling our doula. Like, we got to go to the hospital. So we came home, we packed up our stuff, we rode to the hospital. And I will say that it was like a nice vibe, like on the way to the hospital. Like, I wasn't having contractions. I'd always wondered what
hold on a
second. Back up. Sorry, is my mic messed up?
There you go. Go ahead. Yeah, just back.
Sorry, guys. We love doing these podcasts, no edits. So sometimes it's not obviously going to be totally perfect. So on the way to the hospital, like it was an enjoyable experience. We played like Bob Marley. Like, I remember thinking about what it would be like going into labor and how scared I was for the hospital ride. And I was going to be in the car having contractions and all this stuff. And that wasn't my situation. I waltzed in to the hospital after a lovely car ride. I even had a second to look up at the full moon. December 12th was the full moon.
And it's so funny, wait, because see, there you go, guys. Like, another a huge difference. Like, I was screaming bloody murder in the on the way to the hospital.
I was listening to Bob Marley being like, it's a full moon.
Yeah, and I was like, and you were like, it's crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'll talk about this after, but there's a lot of synchronicities to my birth story. And one of the synchronicities is that it was a full moon on the 12th, which is the day that I felt I should be induced. It was full moon in Gemini, which is the sign of the twin and the sign of my husband. So that was like one of the things that was a synchronicity of my birth. And I literally took a picture, I'm going to post it in my stories, of the full moon before I went into the hospital. And I took a second to just like look up at the full moon and just to be like, wow, like what I'm about to, like, this is it. Like, this is, you know, this is, I just took a second to myself. It was really nice. And anyway, we walked into the hospital and Mama Oracle was with us. Jordan was with me. We waltzed in casually, walked into the birthing unit. They gave us the room. I was the only person that night at the hospital. No other mothers were there. No one else was giving birth. I was the only patient in the entire birthing unit. And because of that, Mama Oracle was able to like light incense and like sage my room.
So yeah, so Jackie says Mama Oracle. I kept saying my doula, but Mama Oracle.
Sorry, she's my doula. Mama Oracle is, she's my doula. Anyway, so it was like a nice vibe. Like, I'm not going to lie, the beginning seemed...
Oh, wait, maybe we should say too, I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
With the doulas, because a lot of people said to me like, oh, so did you give birth at a hospital? A doula is not a midwife. So
yeah,
a midwife,
right.
From what I understand, they can like deliver at home. They can do membrane sweeps. They can check how dilated you are. Maybe doulas could do that too, but ours didn't do that. Ours were purely there to assist
and to advocate. I felt like for me.
No. So that's, I'm glad you just said that. My doula, she said to me, like, she's not there to advocate for me. Maybe yours did, and that's great. And our doulas, I guess, have different experience, but really essentially everybody when you're in labor is like the baby. And sometimes the mom needs support too. So the doula, at least for me, she was like purely there for me. Like she was
Mama Oracle was always there for me, massaging me, making me feel good.
Yeah.
I also felt that she was there like advocating for me, which I'm going to get into because I really felt like there were points with the doctor that we weren't on the same page. And thank God Mama Oracle was there to have my back. Like, I don't know what I would have done. Anyway, so I got to the hospital. She's staging the room. And my doctor came in and he's like, we're going to start the process of inducing. So there's a few things you can do to get induced. And one of the things is like, they take this, like, it looks like a tampon and they put it in you and it has medicine on you and it's supposed to help you dilate and become effaced. So they put it in and they put it in and the doctor, my doctor who did it originally, like it was my doctor, because he was the one that submitted me to be induced. He's like, you're going to do this for 12 hours. You're going to get a good night's sleep and we'll come see you. Like, he's like, I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but there's going to be another doctor on call who's going to deliver your baby and she'll come in tomorrow and she'll check to see like what's going on. And what was weird about it was that even though the doctor that ended up delivering my baby, even though we weren't totally on the same page, out of all the doctors on the like call list, she probably would have been my choice.
Yeah, wait, sorry, back up again a tiny bit.
Sorry, I'm backed up.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Is that better? Sorry, guys. Like I said, we like to do these no edits, so we have to tell each other kind of when it sounds weird. Is that better, Leanna?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, so out of all the doctors that I would have wanted that weren't going to be my doctor, because like I said, most of you mamas know there's like a roster of doctors that are working on call, and there's no guarantee it's going to be your doctor. It depends who's on call.
Depends. If you live in the States, though, I know that it's always your doctor, right? Yeah. But in Canada, it's different.
Yeah. So when he told me the doctor that was coming in tomorrow, even though her and I were like, we had issues like here and there, it wasn't like perfect with her. Out of all of the other doctors on call, she was the only other one that I had met from my clinic. And she was the one that I preferred. So that was like another synchronicity because just so happened that anyway, that there was just, there's so much synchronicity. I'm going to get into all the synchronicities after. I have a list I'm going to read you guys. But anyway, so he said, good night, let's do the tampon. Like she'll see you in the morning. We'll see where you're at. So in the morning, I got up and they came to check me and it hadn't done much with the tampon, whatever they put in. So they ended up having to do it again. And in the hour that they put it in again, after that, I started to have some severe, severe contractions, like really, really intense contractions. And they were like excruciating. And I did a bunch of different things in the span of that afternoon before I did my epidural to try to get... like the pain to subside without doing the epidural.
And just another thing is at hospitals, they won't always give you an epidural until you're like,
even though I was in so much pain, they would not give me an epidural because they said you're not dilated enough and it's going to make you immobile.
No, it slows it down. Because you want to be able to walk around and move because sometimes an epidural can slow down your labor,
right.
So they only want to do it at a certain point. So at that point, I remember you were in so much pain, but they wouldn't give you the epidural yet.
And so Jordan and I did different things. Like Jordan was amazing. There was one point where they told me to take a hot shower. So I turned on the hot shower because when I put hot water like on my stomach, like when I had like the hot water going on my front of my back, I didn't like feel the contractions as much. So Jordan came with me, held my hands as I stood in the shower in the bathroom and we played like Beyonce and music. And I was like trying to sway my hips and move. And we were singing Beyonce, like he was amazing. And that worked for a little bit, but I couldn't stay in the shower for like 3 hours. So then when I came out of the shower, I started having much more contractions. It got worse and worse and worse. They put me in a bath, which wasn't really good. And anyway, I got out of the bath and my water broke naturally. which was amazing.
I can't believe that.
I know. I was like, oh my God, my water's breaking. And I felt it. It was something that you think about.
That's so wild.
Like gushed water. Like you think about your whole life, that moment happening. And I was so proud of my body. I could cry because I.
Wait, so I have a question about this. Hold on. And also back up again, but I have a question about this. So my water was broken after I had an epidural. So like I kind of felt.
They broke it, no?
Right. They broke it. Right. Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. It just feels like all of a sudden water starts.
But were you, you hadn't had your epidural yet. So
what, no. Like, and that's when they, listen, I'll tell you right now, because then they finally decided to give me the epidural. So
no, but for what I was saying, sorry, wait, but what I was saying was like, for me, they broke my water when I had, they had broken my water and I had already had an epidural. So I like kind of felt it, but you hadn't had an epidural. So what does it feel like? It just feels like a ton of water.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, well, I was like lying in the bed.
That's
like,
crazy.
Like having all these contractions, like Mama Orga was trying to make me comfortable and I was freaking out a little bit. I'm like, they're not going to give me an epidural. Why aren't they giving me an epidural? And I made a little prayer to my grandmother in that moment. And like a minute later, my water broke, which was another synchronicity. Like my grandmother heard me loud and clear and she came through and all of a sudden I felt like, I was like so relieved. I was like, oh my God, my water's breaking. And I felt just water like gushing down. And anyway, because my water broke, they were like, now we're going to give you an epidural. And I was like, thank God. And they gave me the epidural. I have a picture of me leaning on Jordan for it. It wasn't the most pleasant experience. It was kind of scary because once your water breaks, your contractions get worse and worse and worse. And they were getting worse and worse like every second. And anyway, they gave me the epidural and then I had some like some chill time. I was able to, right, Liana, can you hear me? Liana's texting me that there's an echo. Is that better, Liana?
Yeah, you just got to back up. Yeah.
Is that better?
No. Try again.
Is that better?
Yeah.
No, like right like that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. We're not going to have bloopers, guys. You guys are literally hearing, the bloopers as we're live.
This is live.
Yeah, this is the real deal. So,
not
live, but yeah, you know what I mean. So, where was I? So, they gave me the epidural, and then I had a few like good hours. Like, I sent out a few text messages. I like called Juliana. I was like, I feel good. Like, I have.
Yeah, and at that point, I wasn't worried about you because it was really hard for me knowing that she was in labor and I wasn't there. And you know, her and I spoke at that point. She sounded fine. So I was like, okay, Jackie's labor is going to be, you know, okay. It's not the exact same. Yeah,
I was like, it's good. I think like, then they had checked me. I'd started to dilate. I was like, man, I'm 3 centimeters. Like it's happening. I'm going to be able to push soon. Like it's going to be amazing. And we were like, I thought I was like smooth sailing from there, which I was wrong. So hold on. There's an echo. Hold on, Liana. Let me fix my mic. Cause you're texting me that there's an echo. Is that better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that good right here like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, sorry guys. So, I took a nap. My parents came by, my in-laws came by. They said, okay, like call us when you're, you know, almost 10 centimeters, we'll come back and, you know, you'll start pushing. So everybody left. And then, they decided to give me Pitocin, which is like the next part in like inducing labor. That was supposed to help me contract. And they gave me the Pitocin. And from then on is where it got kind of difficult because the baby wasn't reacting well to the Pitocin. And I, at that point, my placenta had detached and I started to lose.
Your placenta detached that early?
Because
there's like that's early.
Well, maybe I actually detach a little later. So but anyway, let me just, I don't remember exactly what happened. It's kind of a blur, but basically the Pitocin really kicked in. The baby, like he was fine. They were checking him on the monitor, but they just, I don't think he was reacting very well to all the epidural medication, all the Pitocin medication. And at some point in this process, the placenta ripped. So I started losing.
They ripped. That's what they told you. They said it ripped.
Or a piece ripped off or something like that.
Well, you should know what it is. Hold on, I have it. Sounds terrifying.
Down. Hold on. I have written down. Mama Oracle sent me a list of some stuff. One second.
That is like terrifying.
One second.
Like that, honestly,
placenta
like
had detached a bit. Okay. So because the placenta had detached a bit, I started bleeding a lot. And at that point, the
baby. And you saw it? Like you looked down and saw blood?
No, I just was gushing blood. Yeah. And I, it was a little scary.
I like can't take this.
Okay. Anyway, at that point, the doctor came in and I felt that I felt weak. I developed a fever. They put me on antibiotics. Like there, I was like.
And it was hard for me because my mom, like, she got back to the hospital and she just kept like,
my parents had come back at that point.
And it was like 2 a.m. and I'm like calling my mom, and Jackie and I, usually when I was in labor, I was calling her all the time. And then after I gave birth right away, we FaceTimed.
Yeah, Liana was calling
Jackie. Yeah. Jackie wasn't answering my calls. So I knew something was wrong. And I kept messaging my mom, and my mom like didn't really want to talk to me because she knew that I would freak the fuck out. So, every time I had spoken to my mom, she was just like, she's in pain, or, you know, like this issue happened with the placenta, or, you know, the baby's not reacting well to this. Or it was just like, I felt like every time I spoke to her, it wasn't positive. And I was just like, it was like 2:00 a.m. It was pitch black outside. And I was at home with my husband freaking the fuck out. Like, where's my sister? Like, I was so dramatic and I was not well.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, so it's like hard for me to talk about this. I'm like trying to forget this. So at that point, the doctor came into the room and she said to me that she wanted me to do a C-section at that point. I think I was like 8 centimeters. I was really close to the end, and she wanted me to like do, or maybe I wasn't 8, maybe I was like 6. Anyway, she wanted me to do a C-section, and she's like, you know, there's a few things that concern me. She said something that like, I think that the doctor should definitely keep you informed, but she said that, you know, at this point, like, she just said that she thought maybe the cord could be wrapped around the neck because he wasn't reacting well, which obviously that wasn't the case. Cause then about an hour later, she was like, yeah, that's not what's happening. He's reacting from the medication, which is what I knew that it was. But I said to her, I'm like, it was just really scary when she said that to me, because something that I feared, oh, I'm going to cry, but like my whole pregnancy, it was just something that made me really nervous.
I read that like in some cases it's common that sometimes, I read that when
when she said it to me though, she really scared me. Anyway.
Yeah. But Jack, if it makes you feel better, I read that like, the issue with the cord wrapped around the neck is earlier in pregnancy. Like it actually is more common later, but I don't really understand how this works. And
really scared me. There was one point where I said, like, she's like, you're going in for a C-section. I was like, please doc, just please let me wait a little bit longer. Like, I really want to have a natural delivery. And she was like, don't tell me how to do my job. And that's where, thank God, Mama Oracle was there, because after that happened, I think the doctor felt kind of bad and she pulled Mama Oracle outside, and Mama Oracle like spoke to her and was like, you know, you just really scared. And the doctor said to Mama Oracle, thank God you're here. Like, you're helping her. Anyway, after that happened, something really weird happened with the baby, where at some point along the process in labor, I also had some back labor, Liana, because what ended up happening was the epidural stopped working. It wasn't strong enough, because all of a sudden the baby had like turned and he was on my left side. And I only felt contractions in the back on the left side. And they were way more excruciating than the contractions I had experienced during the day, which I don't understand, was the worst pain I've ever had.
But how could you feel them? Like, your epidural didn't work? I don't understand.
No, because he was like so misplaced on my side that I started.
Yeah, but I was in back labor and I didn't feel it.
I don't know. I couldn't feel my legs. I couldn't feel anything on my right side. All I could feel was the most excruciating pain I've ever had on my left side in my entire life. Like, it was like, I thought the contractions during the day were bad. Like, this was,
and
like,
at that point I remember I called mom
screaming.
My
parents were so scared, because I was screaming bloody murder. My mom was trying to come into the room. I was like, get out of the room. And my mom was so terrified. She's like, hearing you scream like that, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like,
and I heard it too, because I called mom, and in the background I heard you yell, and I was like, where's my sister? What the fuck is going on? Like, I was just like I was just tripping out. And like I said, the placenta thing, and then the you feeling the pain, and then them telling you about the cord thing, and then them like going back and forth from the C-section. And I was just like, this is, I can't handle this.
That was also like the hardest thing too, was that I was so afraid of having a C-section. The doctor kept going back and forth on whether or not I was going to have one. So it was like a mind fuck, because I was like, okay, I'm going to push. No, I'm not. Okay, yes, I am. No, I'm not. It was just like, it was such a mind fuck. And Mama
Oracle, for me, my whole labor was just like, okay, you're at 8, now you're at 9, now you're 10.
No, and Mama Oracle was with me the whole time. Like, you fight for yourself. Like, I'm here for you. If you want to do this naturally, like, we're going to get there. Your grandmother's in the room. Like, there's so much synchronicity. Like, you know, we kept on seeing the numbers. I asked my grandmother for the help in like delivery room, and I said, show me that you're in the delivery room through the numbers 1111. And there was like fucking so many times Mama Oracle was like freaking out where things were.
What about, dude, the day before
numbers on, like, charts, numbers on, yeah, like just every number.
The day before, I think it was like the night before or something, I was like, is Jean Jacket's gonna have the baby like tomorrow? What's gonna happen? And Brandon looked like, because I told Brandon the 11:11 thing, and I said, I just wish I could like know when she's gonna give birth. And I looked at the clock, and it was 11:11.
And I also had something else happen, which is when I'm gonna do a list of all the synchronicities on Instagram. But 2 days before the 12th, I spoke to Mama Oracle, and we were texting, and I said to her, I'm like, I really need, like, I can't handle this anymore. I need him to come out. And she wrote like, Carter, come out, please, we're ready for you. And I'm gonna show you guys a text. It was exactly at 11:11 when she wrote that. And she wrote, oh my God, it's 11:11. And I hadn't even told her that I asked Bubby for that. So it was just like, there was so much synchronicity with my grandmother. I felt such a vibe. Labor was like spiritual. It was anyway. So just, I have to like wrap it up. So at this point I was having those really bad back contractions and I was screaming in pain, and I made another prayer to my grandmother. I'm like, please somebody help me. And at that moment, the doctor was like, I think we should get the anesthesiologist. And it was like, I don't know, my grandmother like sent him in from heaven, because he came in and he was the one that gave me the epidural earlier. And I just like loved him. Like, he was so sweet. And he was the one doctor that was there that I actually felt like had my back. And he amped up my epidural medication to the point where I stopped feeling that back pain. And after that, I was dilating more. Like, I made it to 10 centimeters. So the doctor the doctor came and showed you 10 centimeters. She goes, but I just want to warn you, like, because there was something, there was like something was blocking in there. I don't know what exactly it was, but she's like, I still don't know for sure, especially because something's like, he's on the side. And she's like, you're 10 centimeters.
But that's so scary. You might be 10 centimeters.
You might still have to have a C-section. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't handle this anymore. Like, just let me push. She's like, we're going to start pushing. So I started pushing, and she was having a hard time. Like, she wasn't really She wasn't really able to maneuver. And she kept saying, I don't know. And I just said to her, I said, can I just say something out loud? And I made a prayer out loud in front of everybody in the delivery room. I can't handle this. And I spoke to my grandmother, and I was just like, please, Bubby, if you're here, like, please help me. I really want to deliver naturally. And I said this in front of, like, I prayed in front of all the doctors there, or to the doctor that was in the room and the nurses. And then a couple seconds later, my doctor put, like, she was like, okay, you know what? There's someone here that has 28 years experience. Because at this point I had started pushing, but he just wasn't coming out because he was stuck on the side. And the doctor was like, he's not coming around. Like, I don't know if I can maneuver him. Like, it was just so fucked up. Anyway, and then she said, I'll be right back. There's a doctor here that maybe can help us. He has a lot of experience.
See, like, even thinking like her being like, I'll be right back, and like you like sitting there like waiting.
No, I was like, it was so intense. I was like, am I having a C-section? Am I not having a C-section? Like, what's going on? Anyway, so she went to get this doctor, and Izzy told me, my parents said that they saw the doctor come into the room. Like, they saw this like older man, 28 years experience, I feel like my grandmother sent him, because it was right after I said that prayer that I really wanted to deliver naturally. Like, 2 minutes later, she was like, okay, hold up. Like, there might be someone here that can help. I want to get a second opinion. And my dad said he saw him walk in, and my dad was like, is he going to give her a C-section? Like, what's going on? Anyway, the guy came in, and he was like an angel from heaven who my grandmother sent, because he looked at me and he said, I can do this naturally. And Leanna, he was like, I loved him. Like, he saved me. He was like, I'm going to have to use forceps, but your baby will be here safe and sound in 10 minutes. That's what he said. So
again, Adeline, like, you know. And I wasn't there. So like, this just like is hard for me.
And it's the first time that you're hearing it. Yeah. So he was like my like angel. And at this point also, I want to say the bleeding had actually gotten a little bit better. So that I was like, there was hope, you know? Like, I was still bleeding a lot, but not as much. I wasn't losing as much blood as it was at the beginning. Anyway, so it was like from there, I pushed. I have this is what you guys are going to hear that's recorded. You hear two doctors in the back, a male and a female. He was the one that was, you know, using the forceps. And within 10 minutes of pushing, he was here, and he came out, and Jordan at that moment, Jordan started crying. I hope he's not mad that I'm saying this, but I think that he was so happy to see that I got what I wanted, because I wanted to deliver natural. And he was like so happy that that happened and that it was going to be okay, because he was really worried too. Like, he was with me the whole time. He was amazing. Like, literally, hold on, I need a second. I need to get my shit together. Okay. So he was amazing. He was like, I think it was hard for him to see me in that much pain, but I think when he realized that I was going to be able to deliver natural, he was so happy for me. He started crying. He hugged Mama Oracle. The baby was on my chest and, you know, it was just like, I was like, my baby, I did it. Like, he's here. And it was just the best moment ever. And even though like there was so much going on, there was chaos all around me. I just was like kissing him and hugging him, like, and I was just so happy. And I just like was, it was just the best moment ever.
It's like just a lot.
Anyway.
And I want to say something too, because like we get all this shit all the time on like Instagram and stuff. And like, cause we share everything and we share all this stuff because like, at least when I went through pregnancy, whatever, I would look to like other accounts, I'd look for like inspiration. And you know, some of you might message us and be like, oh, like, you know, that doesn't sound so bad, or this doesn't sound so bad, but this is our experience. And this was like what it was to us.
Really,
like,
I just saw what you posted. Jacqueline, you just, Brianna just got on Instagram and did a story. And she wrote, Jacqueline and I are literally, I'm like, what's she posting? We're doing a podcast right now. What are you tagging me in? And Leanna just said, Jacqueline Hefter and I are literally hysterically crying at the end of this podcast. And we literally are.
But like, it's just, you know, and like, I've read scarier birth stories. I've read better birth stories. But everybody,
I know, I've heard some stories. Listen, I have to say, like, out of all the birth stories, like, I know how lucky I am. I know that there could have been so many more complications. The baby is safe and sound. And, you know, I have a type 4 tear. They stitched me up.
I should say that.
It took 2 hours.
Jackie, so another difference is I had like a 2 and Jackie had a 4.
But
she said, what, a 3, almost a 4 for you.
Yeah. She was like, you're really close to a 4. And, then also they also said when they all saw him, like the two doctors, they were like, holy shit. Like, he was like, wow, next time have a girl and like, make sure she's small. He like said that. He was like, thank God you vouched for yourself. He was like, the fact that he's like, if you would have gone another day and you would not have been induced, he's like, you would have had to have a C-section. He's like, you're like a small girl.
But I don't want to scare people off from the C-section. I know,
but listen, some people love having C-sections.
I have girlfriends who are like, oh my God, I went in, it was scheduled, it was for the day. They
oh my God, Jordan's friend's wife was telling me how she loved having a C-section. And she like, everybody has different experiences. She was so happy to have one and she was so relieved. And listen, guys, teach their own. This is my story. This is, you know what I mean? So
anyway, let's, I'm getting so many questions. Let's answer some of the Q&A. Like, everyone's
just want to think, is there anything else that happened at the end? Wait, that I just want to share. Yeah. Just that he was born at 3:40 and my parents only walked into the room close to 6 o'clock in the morning because it took them that long to stitch me up. So that was a bit intense. I'm not going to lie. And I was like looking at Jordan and I was just like, what just happened? It was the most overwhelming experience. But once they stitched me up and, oh yeah. And then the sponge thing, Leanna, with the sponge.
Oh my God.
The doctor went to me at the end and was like, we might have a little problem. She was like, we can't find one of our sponges and we might have sewed it in you.
No, left it in you.
What the fuck,
bro? Like,
it was fine. They checked me out the next day, but like, it was just
like, that's insane.
Yeah, it was. And I was like, great. Yeah. And to say that to me after I'd gone through this trauma, like, I was just like, are you fucking kidding me, bro? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, that doctor left and they cleaned me up and my parents came in the room and it was like, from there, I started my postpartum experience and it's been.
And we're going to do a whole other podcast on postpartum, but so far.
Yeah, I just want to go quickly through before we do, we're going to start to wrap this up, but before we do, Leanna, before we do the questions, I just want to quickly say all the synchronicities. So I talked about like the 11:11 text messages with Mama Oracle. I'm going to show those on my Instagram. I'm just going through my list because I have a list of the synchronicities.
I think there were synchronicities between like me and yours too. Like,
no, and then 2 days before I gave birth, I had also asked for my grandmother to send me signs through a fly. I don't know if you guys caught my story. There was a fly in my 20-week ultrasound. I asked her for a sign. I'm like, send me a sign that you're helping me in my like pregnancy when I go into when I do my 20-week ultrasound, and send it to me in a fly. I was like, just today, send me a fly. Somehow send me a fly. Which is like the most random thing to ask for. I don't know why. I just felt like I need to ask for a fly. I read something in my book about, like, in that book about, like that book I talked to you guys about, like, getting signs. Anyway, and Mama Oracle told me that there was a fly in her window. Oh, no, wait, sorry. That's something after. Sorry, oh my God, I'm like getting all over the place. There was a fly in the room when I did my 20-week ultrasound. All of a sudden, the doctor was like, sorry, there's a fly in here. Like, and he's like, this never happens. And I was like, well, I was so happy because I was like, oh my God, my grandmother, like, I literally said, send me a fly at some point today. And she sent it as I was doing my ultrasound. So that was another one. There was something with Mama Oracle. She had also, there was a, like the night before I went into like to be induced, she says she never really sees flies in her place. There was a bunch of flies that wouldn't like leave her place. One more thing, Leanna, that I wanted to tell you, another synchronicity. Sorry, I just have to get through these. December 12th, 2018. Like, I don't know if you guys do this, but I don't know if you do this, Leanna, but I go through my archive on Instagram every few days to where I was a year ago. Do you do that?
No.
So I just like no. Where was I December 11, 2018? Like versus where I am today. And sometimes I'll get
like memories of like a photo and I'm like,
I'll go back. And I went back and December 12, 2018, I had a session with Mama Oracle where we talked about certain things, like about the universe and spirituality and kids.
Now I want to check what I was doing December 2nd, 2018.
And it was just the weirdest thing that it was December 12th was the night I went into the right Leanna, I like, it was like, I sent it to Mom Oracle. I'm like, do you realize that that particular session was December 12th, 2018? And we were like freaking out. And there's a few more things like the full moon. I told you guys, final full moon of the decade, sign of the twin. My brother just so happened to be free. He took work off and was able to watch Kobe the 12th, 13th, 14th. Like we didn't know what we were going to do about Kobe. We were like, do we need to call our dog walkers? Just so happened my brother was off those 3 days. What else? The fact that my doctor was on call the Thursday to agree to induce me. He's usually there only Fridays. Like, and I asked him, I was like, doc, how come you were there on the Thursday instead of the Friday? He's like, I don't know. It was like a really weird thing. Like the schedule changed last minute. And I was like, wow, like that's my grandmother.
Anyway, so December 2nd, hold on, I'm looking.
Wait, let me just leave that. Let me just get through these synchronicities. I have like four more left and then you do your thing. When I got to the birthing unit, I was the only person that was like on the 12th. I was there that night that I was able to do my sage. The monitor machine often had series with like 11-11s. What else? The fact that it was the two doctors that I wanted, the second doctor. What else? I'm trying to think. What was I going to say? The fact that, yeah, when I prayed to my grandmother, that like older doctor came in. And anyway, and then the last thing is that the whole staff told me that I made the decision. Thank God I went in that day because had I waited.
That's the craziest thing that the doctor went to at the end. It was like, thanks for working with me on this or something.
Anyway, so just a lot of weird, like I said, I just want to wrap my story up.
Did the doctor say to you, like, thank you for working with me on this? Or we worked together?
She actually, the one that I didn't get along with so much was like, I want to say, like, I think we did this together. Like she, in the end, she was great. Like I'm very, very grateful to all the staff at Lakeshore. Like she was great. It's just that, anyway, it's all good. And my.
Oh yeah. And that's another question we get asked. Jackie delivered at Lakeshore Hospital in Montreal.
But they were great. Like shout out to all the nurses. Like,
yeah, I delivered at North York General in Toronto.
I also just want to say last thing before we get into the questions, my birth was like a spiritual experience and I kind of knew that it was going to be. And that's why I took time off social media a couple days before to like zone in, get aligned with like my highest self so that I could have the birth I was meant to have. And even though it was hard, like I'm so glad like that I pushed.
Mine was like spiritual
myself.
Mine was like a
vibe, Leanna. My birth was a fucking vibe.
Yeah, mine like I feel like mine was too different.
I was on some serious drugs.
But like a bad trip. Like I think you're gonna do
like a bad. My husband made that joke. He's like, we're like tripping on some bad shrooms right now.
No, we're like, yeah, no, or like it would be like literally like exactly like mine was like if you're doing
I'm gonna whip out the questions right
now. But if you're doing like a good drug trip or a bad drug trip, mine was like a good drug trip and yours was like a wonky one. Like
great shit.
I was on like some good MDMA.
I was on like some bad shrooms.
Okay, wait, so now just it says December 2nd, 2018.
Check that. And why you do that?
There's nothing. It's literally nothing. It was like I was like at like one of my favorite restaurants. There's nothing
really.
Yeah. So mine isn't obviously like, or it was like the first night of Hanukkah, I think. It wasn't anything crazy.
Okay, I'm just checking all these.
Yeah. So here are some of the questions that I had. Let me start with some of mine.
Yeah.
The first one was, how do you pronounce Capri? So she's like, is it Capri or Capri? It's Capri. It's just like the island in Italy, Capri.
Now you need to back up. Now you sound a little funny.
Oh, is that better?
Much better.
How do you pronounce Capri? So I just say it like Capri, like, I don't know. Capri. Yeah. And then the next question is, okay, so this is a good one, actually. What do you wish you would have known going into labor?
Nothing.
So, I guess nothing.
I was one of the people said to me, like, have you watched birth stories? I'm like, fuck no. Like,
yeah, see, I did. You and I are so different.
I was like, Leanna's like, do you know? I'm like, I don't want to know anything. Don't tell me anything.
Yeah, I was the opposite. I had like
read birth stories. Like,
I did.
You moms right now that are listening to this, I'm sure we have a lot of moms on here two moms that are pregnant. Bravo for like wanting to listen to a birth story before you give birth. You are brave women.
Because I did
not want to listen to birth stories before I gave birth or read birth stories. I was like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know anything. You know?
Here's another question. Are you looking into pelvic floor therapy post-birth? So this is a good question. So I actually had a little bit of like...
Yeah, tell them about your ass.
What's it called? Diastasis or something? So I don't think it's bad because like
it's FYI, this is going to be our longest podcast ever. It's like,
over. Yeah, but it seems like I noticed that in, when I was pregnant, I noticed like a little bit of like this, like kind of like a coning shape to my belly at some points. And apparently that's like, it's when like your abs split a little bit. So I'm going to have to do some pelvic floor therapy. I'm going in a couple of weeks to do that. And then here's another question. Did you get an epidural? Clearly you guys know that we both did.
What were you not prepared for? What can we better prepare ourselves for it? I don't know if there's any way that you can prepare yourself for labor. And that's why I think the end of pregnancy is a fucking mind fuck. Because you're waiting for it to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. And there's, I don't know. Yeah, you can like watch birth stories. Yeah, but like there's really nothing you could prepare yourself for.
I don't agree. I disagree.
That's what I think.
Because I think that what you should do is I think you should prepare to have like a good labor experience. Like that's like, even if it doesn't end up working out exactly that way, mentally get yourself in the mindset that it's going to be a good one, because that's what I did. And it did end up being that way. And it could be that way for many of the women who are listening.
Well, somebody just asked me, what would you do over again? What would you change? Even though my labor was hard, I would not change a fucking thing. Like, I'm glad I took time off social media. So many people were worried. And I was literally just home, like waiting for my baby. And like, everyone was like,
I was getting so many messages.
Like, are you in labor? I can feel you're in labor. I was like, I can't fucking feel I'm in labor. I'm at home, like drinking my juice, like waiting for labor. Like so obsessed with juicing at the end. And I was like, I know what else to do. You know?
Here's another question. Actually, I get this a lot. So this one is, would you do it again? So here's, I want to answer this question. So I don't know how I'm going to feel in a few years, but all I want to say is that even if she, Capri, is the only, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to feel in a few years. Yeah, I know that
Carter and Capri are the only kids we have. Like,
I'll be so satisfied. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I'll see. Well, I'll ask me in a few years. Right now, I just gave birth. My vag is still healing. And we'll talk about it in a couple of years when I feel like I've physically have somewhat of my body back, because I'm looking forward to feeling really good physically. And I'm just so impressed with how the body just, you know.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Everybody's bodies obviously like are different, but it's like to wake up and to see how your stomach has changed. I'm just like, whoa, like
it's crazy.
I'm amazed. A week ago at this time, I was still pregnant. And now I'm like my, it's just unbelievable to see what happens. Yeah. Some other questions I got for real. I need to know what I'm in for. Don't sugarcoat it. I don't think we really sugarcoated, and hopefully that like really helped you guys get an idea, because our births were so different. Someone said,
and don't be scared, I want to say, because you know what?
Just hold your baby. No, but you know what? This has made me so strong. Like, own it, mama. Like, you're a mom now. Like, own your birth. Own your birth story. Own what's going to happen to you. And like, grow from it. I'm so fucking strong from this. Like, who I was a year ago, 2 years ago, like, I'm like a warrior, resilient. Like,
even now, like, I walk around, like, I'll go to like a beauty appointment or to pick up food, and I walk in and I'm like, I'm not just like a regular person like buying like a stalk of lettuce. I'm a woman who pushed a baby out of her vagina buying a stalk of lettuce. Like, fuck yes.
I'm fucking the warrior.
I'm a fucking badass boss.
Someone else, was it what you expected? I expected it to be a crazy spiritual vibe, which it was. I just didn't
expect. It was better than what I expected.
Mine was definitely not better. Mine, it was not. I just expected it to be spiritual, but I will say it was much more painful than I expected.
Sorry. Mine was less painful than what I expected. Just the beginning was more, but for me it was less. So that's like,
goes to show you guys, like, it depends. Like, it's different. Has your perspective on life changed? Yes. I feel like the things I used to worry about, like clients and this, and obviously my clients matter, work matters, whatever, but like, I don't know. I'm not going to sweat the small stuff anymore. Like, if my shit's a mess and I'm not always completely, like, cause I was always so like neurotic being organized. If I'm not the most organized and sometimes things are a little messy, it's fucking fine. Like, I just like, I don't know. I feel like this has really been such a shift for me, you know?
Same.
And then anything pain scale from the epidural, they want to know. It's not the best pain. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, contractions are, they call it labor for a reason. How you dealt with contractions and pain, I just want to say, before the epidural, the shower really helped, like doing what I did with Jordan.
The doula also helps.
My God, Mama Oracle was like doing this thing to my back where she was like, pulling my
together, like pushing it together
with my hips, and it was fucking
helpful. So my doula did that too. My doula Leah, she's amazing.
I have a picture of her doing it to me.
Yeah, me too. I think I do too. But my doula Leah, she's phenomenal, and she's also a massage therapist. So like, I was like upset that I was having contractions, but I was always like, I'm having a contraction, like rub my back. Like it was like, you know, like yeah. It was wild.
I just want to say the last question and not even a question. Somebody wrote, happy holidays, not on topic. Just want to let you know that 2020 is going to be so good. Someone wrote
the
that.
Audacity.
The audacity of fucking 2019. It's crazy because it was like, obviously when it ended up, like our kids are here and it's like the best thing ever, but it was a really difficult year for Leanne and I, just in terms of like, everything worked out, thank God, like with work, like I'm so grateful. Like literally I could not picture being anywhere but here right now. I feel so fucking aligned with where like I'm supposed to be, but it was so hard for us just to get, we got through the pregnancies, we shifted our business. Like I'm so fucking proud of us, Leanna. Like I'm so like excited for 2020 and like, oh, I just feel so fucking grateful for the kids and for you and for the husbands and for our
family. One more lesson. Yeah. One more thing I want to say.
Just everything. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. One more thing I want to say before we get off here, because this was a long podcast.
She's going to come over. Sorry.
But I want to say one more thing. If anything that this experience taught me, it's that like, just you, like I look back on like when I get like my memories on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and it's like, enjoy every moment of your life. Like when, like whether you're going to have a kid, you're not going to have a kid, this or that, like we are all just so blessed to have our health, to have what we have. And, you know, as long as, you know, you have good days, you have bad days. Some days I'm up with the baby.
Funny, Zoe just texted me. Shout out to Zoe, by the way, who's really been able to help us, because Zoe was just asking me a question for something for Deauville. We brought Zoe on to help us obviously manage our work and stuff. And like, thank God, because she's really helped us at this time. Like the reason why we have the time to do the podcast and be with the kids, and it's because we have somebody who's like really managing a lot of our stuff for us right now. And Zoe, shout out to you, girl. Just got your text. Love you. You're the best.
Yeah, she's great. She's been great. So anyway, so like I was saying, just really appreciate everything that you have, every moment, every vacation, every good meal, every kiss from your husband or every kiss from a loved one or any hug or friend or a good conversation or favorite television show or a good glass of wine or, you know, a good day. Just appreciate every single thing you have in life. And honestly, bless all of you. And we love you. And this has been the craziest year. Cheers to 2019 and fucking cheers.
2019, man. It's like, I'm so excited.
It's over. Yeah. And cheers to 2020. It's going to be a great year. And we love you all. Yeah,
can't wait, man. Love you guys. Thanks for following and supporting. And we'll catch up. Oh, we got to, last thing to mention. Next podcast is going to be, we're going to talk about breastfeeding and a little bit of postpartum, prepartum and things like that. So thanks, you guys. We love you. And we'll catch in with you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye.